Welcome to the show, Gold Squadron Gays. It's the podcast where two Star Wars loving gays talk about and review their favorite Star Wars content while also being gay as hell. I'm your host, Bradley Brower.
I'm your other host, Charles Rogers, and I don't have time to get into all that. If you're just joining us in the show, welcome. Bradley always tries to trip me up by making me corpse by saying something funny because his intro is pre-recorded and my intro is live. And he just went on this long tangent about Easter because we are recording, even though you will be listening to this episode in about 2 weeks, we are recording this episode on Easter Sunday, which just kind of worked out for us.
It just happened to work perfectly.
We're talking about the rabbit today.
I love it.
I remember when we were having the schedule meeting, because we ended recording last weekend, and then I was looking at the schedule, because normally we record Saturday mornings, and there was a thing happening on this Saturday morning, and I was like, well, we could record Sunday, but I don't know, that's Easter Sunday. And Bradley, you were like, oh no, we gotta fucking do the bunny episode on Easter Sunday.
Yeah, I love that we're recording it on Easter Sunday, but I also like, I mean, the OCD in me would be like, nah, we need to release this on Easter, but I mean, it didn't work out that way.
However, it will never happen because we always release on Mondays, unless we're doing a bonus episode, which we haven't done in a while, and then we'll release on Fridays. Well, I was busy Saturday morning recording a new episode, or rather 3 or 4 new episodes, of the hit Star Wars TTRPG podcast for Light and Dice, on which I am a cast member playing the character of Wynn. But I am not the only Gold Squadron Gays cast member on that podcast anymore. Am I, Bradley?
No longer. I guess you could say I popped my cherry on for Light and Dice.
You did. Bradley, if you've listened to a recent episode of For Light and Dice, you might have recognized, or in my case, did not recognize, the voice of one Bradley Brower as Kossov, the Weequay Nihil, who takes a bunch of drugs and tries to fuck up Ariadu and fucks around and finds out.
I love it.
Bradley, I told you I was going to tell you on mic, because I wanted to tell you my actual experience listening to that episode, because listeners, Bradley didn't tell me, and neither did Chris. Neither of them told me. So the way that For Light and Dice's production timeline works is that Chris will often drop an episode into our cast Discord. We have a Discord just for Chris and the 5 main cast members to coordinate schedules and talk about various things and things like that. Chris will usually drop the episode about a day or two before it is released to the public. And most times I don't listen. Most times one of the other cast members will listen to it, QA, make sure it sounds fine. I will only listen if I'm specifically asked to listen. And I get this text from Chris, the GM, our friend Chris over Dark Side Divas, basically just says, go listen to the Light and Dice episode before it comes out immediately. And I'm like, okay, so I'm at work, so I load it up, and the scene comes on, and it's Lorna D, voiced by the incomparable Steph from Dark Side Divas. And she's having a conversation with Markion Rowe, voiced by Chris. And then Kossov walks in and is having a conversation with Lorna. Kossov sounds nothing like Chris. So I'm like, oh, this is clearly someone different. Sounds nothing like Bradley. And so the first two dialogue lines, I'm like, oh man, I actually typed it in the Discord. I was like, oh man, whoever's voicing Kossov is really good. Really good. And then I start noticing Bradley does a little vocal uptick sometimes when he finishes a sentence. And I heard that uptick and I went, wait a goddamn minute. Because I pitched Bradley as Kossov as a joke.
I know. I remember you saying that too. And that's why when he asked me, I thought it was hilarious, because I was like, I wonder if he knows that Chris is asking me to do this voice.
Nope.
Because you said that already.
Nope. Nope. So it's all the way at the end of the episode that Chris reveals, yes, that was Bradley. So hilarious experience. I was freaking out when I found out. And I sent you a string of very annoyed messages.
Yeah, I've never done any voice acting, but this was it was a lot of fun. I think also for those of you who haven't heard For Light and Dice before, when Chris does those, I mean, I've never heard those little bits, but those little, like, I guess you could call them like cinematic bits, because he adds like,
yeah,
music.
Well, the whole show, it's really fascinating. The whole show has like sound effects, and we don't use Star Wars music from the officially licensed stuff. We use High Republic fan soundtracks that were given permission to us to use by someone named Grushkov, who's made actual albums for the High Republic. So they've made Light of the Jedi, Rising Storm, Fallen Star, and then just a general Quest of the Jedi album. And they're apparently working on an Eye of Darkness one. But yeah, that's what this is. We basically have original music that we use on the show.
I like it. It and sounds it, so cool too.
It's crazy. Yeah, he likes to drop those little cinematic bits in the middle there.
Yeah, it was so cool. I wish, you know what? I wish you guys knew somebody who knew animation or something, because then I would love to see someone animate all of his cinematic scenes. That would be amazing.
I don't think I've seen anybody. There's fan art. People make fan art for Light and Dice. But I don't think I've seen anybody do any animations for Light and Dice.
Well, if anybody wants to animate that particular scene, only because send I'm it in to it Bradley. And that's all I care about.
Send it to Bradley. Well, speaking of voice acting and cinema, I don't know how to do the transition from everyone go listen to For Light and Dice, a Star Wars TTRPG podcast set in the High Republic.
There you go.
There we go. We're doing that plug at the beginning. Sure. And what they should also do is watch Star Wars Visions, a 2-season anthology series of different animation studios, first from Japan and then from around the globe. And we will be talking about one of those short films today. There we go. I transitioned to Silver by plugging. When in doubt, plug.
Okay. Yeah. When in doubt, yeah.
When in doubt, plug. This could apply to many situations in your life.
Charles, would you like to know what episode we're doing today?
I would love to know. What episode we are talking about today, and I've been eagerly anticipating this one.
This week we're talking about Star Wars Visions Season 1, Lop and Ocho. A family is torn about what to do when the Empire encroaches on their planet. Charles, would you like some information about this short?
I would love some additional information about this short.
Sure. So this episode was directed by Yuki Igarashi. Igarashi? I think I said that right. And it was written by Sayawaka. I'm going to do the writer first because I couldn't find anything. This is the only thing on IMDb, at least, that this person did. I didn't do a ton of research, but that's because I'm not a big researcher, but I couldn't find
IMDb
anything.
Also has a credit for someone named Yasumi Itarashi, I want to say. I apologize. We're just butchering the hell out of these names today. This is the only credit they have. Right. But we can talk about the director.
Yes. So I can talk about the director because I had some stuff. Like, right. So funny enough, if you go on their IMDb page, there's a lot of anime stuff that I have never heard of. So this was the only one that was like, or at least in the animation department. They've directed this, and then they directed one more thing, which was called Keep Your Hands Off Izuku. Goken? I don't know. That was the only
Izuken?
Other thing I saw. Izuken?
Keep your hands off Izuken. Let's see what this is. A group of strangers come together to work on... Oh, I've heard of this show. Apparently, this is quite cute. About a group of kids trying to make an anime, I think. The only thing on their name that I really recognize just from the title alone is they were the key animator on Mob Psycho 100 for 6 episodes of it.
Okay, cool.
6 of the episodes in season 1.
Well, I'm glad you know at least some animes, because sometimes when I look at their lists, I'm always like, they have extensive lists of stuff they work on. I've never heard of any of it. So I can't be like, oh yeah, that's I know exactly what that one is.
We're going to hit the limits of my anime knowledge here.
Well, we're about to do it again, because I here's the problem with the studio. So the studio that made Lop and Ocho is called Gino Studio. Yeah, I couldn't find much other than this.
I also could not find much of anything beyond
is shocking. Other than
Wikipedia,
like three things.
Wikipedia only has them listed as doing 4 television shows, none of which I've heard of.
Right.
An OVA, which I'd never heard of. A film, which I'd never heard of. And this. And they were founded in 2015.
Yeah.
So I'm almost wondering, I'm going to actually break my own method of research. And I'm going to go Anime News Network. And I'm going to see, it looks like, they're not the lead animation studio on a lot of things. But they've been involved in the animation production of some things that I have actually heard of.
Okay.
Including Dr. Stone, Kaguya-sama Love is War, which is fantastic, by the way. These are just the ones that I've looked at. Vinland Saga, they were the in-between animation and production assistant. So it looks like they've done some other things. It looks like they did second key animation for Frieren Beyond Journey's End. I'm only mentioning this now because no one shuts the fuck up about Frieren around me anymore. I don't know what this anime is, guys. I know the basic plot summary, but I don't know what this anime is. You have to stop bringing it up to me. I don't have time to watch Frieren, all right? I don't. You have to explain the show to me. Don't just tell me to watch it. Anyway, well, they've been involved in some other stuff.
I was going to say, it wasn't too much. It wasn't, or I couldn't find too much stuff, which I want to say, though, up front, though, is shocking because of, I feel like this particular episode was like, it seemed very complicated and like visually and
it's
stuff.
I
just
so
not to jump to the animation, but like it seems like a very heavy, like, you know, thing. I guess I'll just say this in the front. This was, you know how last time, or not last time, a couple episodes ago, I said The Ninth Jedi was the only short that I thought was like a full TV show already. It felt like we were just watching like a pilot of a TV show.
Yeah.
This one felt like we were watching a movie. I felt like I was watching like an anime movie or like the beginning of a movie, or you know what I mean? Like, or like a very truncated movie. It felt like we were getting the shortened version of what the movie is like. Here's what we want to do for the movie. And here's like the simple version to sell it to, you know, the different studio execs or whatever. Like, this is their version of a pilot to sell their movie. That's what it looked like, or felt like to me.
Yeah, I definitely was feeling the same way when I watched it, because it was reminiscent very much of something like I would have seen like on Toonami back in the mid-aughts. Like, it's that kind of action-y, plot-heavy show that they're trying to do. And I actually, it's weird, because I actually watched this thing and didn't really like it as much as I thought I would. Like, I was struggling with the animation. Are we just going to skip to animation?
Yeah, we can do animation real quick.
We'll just skip to animation real quick. I was really struggling with it, especially the opening couple of shots are so fast, and there's not time for my eyes to process what's happening.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, the transition.
So they already part, got yeah. off to a bad start with me, and then I was watching the thing and I was like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, I'm struggling to reconcile visually what I'm seeing on the screen. And then I watched the behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And did you watch the behind the scenes,
Bradley? I actually did watch it this time. Yeah.
That's hand animated.
That's exactly
why. Like, oh, yeah. Okay. So obviously that's why it looks like that, because exactly. It's hand animated. Well, I don't know if it's hand animated. I don't know. The backgrounds are all painted.
That's what they
and
said.
They
yeah,
talked
the
about
were
even
painted,
with digital yeah. tools, anime is often most of it's hand painted or hand drawn. So like, yeah, you can also tell in kind of the way they drew it. It's like, this is one that was made. It's so fast paced because it doesn't want to waste any of the animator's time.
Right. I think if this was a traditional one, they would have stretched out the scenery with scenes, like, or at least the first 5 minutes or so where like they're kind of coming into the planet. Like, if this was a regular show or something, then it would have spent a solid 10 minutes on that opening. It would have been like, here's all the stars and the ships and the towns,
right? And then like some of the plot beats that we're going to get into later might not have happened as quickly as they did, but
right.
This is why I think when you're looking at a piece of art, like not even just specifically a piece of media, but something that's made as a piece of art with artistic intent to the degree that this is, it's important to understand a little bit the context and how it exists. Because for me, some of these shows some of these shorts, I've gained much more appreciation for just knowing what went into making them. It's this weird thing with Death of the Author to where like, no, sometimes it actually is useful to know how the sausage is made, but also why the sausage was made. Anyway, before we get into the story, Bradley, I do think we should probably talk about the voice cast.
Sure. So starting from the top, we have Anna Cathcart as Lop, our main character, known for XO Kitty on Netflix, the Descendant movies on Disney, and Once Upon a Time. Also, she was in To All the Boys I've Ever Loved, P.S. I Love You, which is the second, I believe, film in that franchise on Netflix. Fun fact, though, about her Descendant character and her character on Once Upon a Time. So in the Descendants movies, she plays like the daughter of, I believe, the daughter of one of the evil stepsisters or the evil stepmother from Cinderella. In Once Upon a Time, she plays a teen version of one of the evil stepsisters. So I just thought that was a funny little, like, she's basically playing the same character.
Of course, this is information that you possess.
Well, one, because I love Once Upon a Time, so I have to throw a
This
Once
does
Upon a Time
not
in.
surprise me in the slightest.
I love how terrible it is, but how amazingly awful it is at the same time. I love Once Upon a Time. No one can ever convince me that that show is not good. It's hilariously bad, but hilariously good at the same time.
I watched one season of Once Upon a Time. I watched the first season because Tumblr fucking loved it. And I was like,
Oh,
well, if
yeah.
Tumblr loves it, I'm gonna give it a shot. That was a mistake. So I watched it and I was like, I have watched a season and I think I've pretty much figured out what this is about. And I have no desire to watch any more of this.
I'm pretty sure if you were to get all the way to the Frankenstein episode, you probably would have shit your
The
pants.
what?
Yeah,
They
without spoiling it for anybody else, but
Does Dracula turn up in this show,
no,
Bradley?
thankfully he
There's
does
no
not. No
Dracula.
Dracula, but there is Frankenstein and Frankenstein's monster.
I still need to watch Awake and report back why the fuck Dracula's on the cast list for the Hayden Christensen movie, Awake.
Don't know. And you were supposed to come back this week and tell
I
us,
was supposed
but.
to come back this week.
Okay, well, next week is your last chance to do
Next week is
it.
my last chance to be thematic.
Yeah.
Look, I've been distracted reading actual Dracula.
Oh,
Like,
there you go.
I highly recommend occasionally forgetting large pieces of like your favorite piece of media so that when you reread it again, you're like, oh, this is so funny. Because it's stuff that I read in Dracula. I'm like, oh yeah, I completely forgot that this happened.
I love that.
And so it's like getting hit in the face. Like, I forgot how every time Jonathan Harker's like super like in danger or he's being stressed out or something, he will take a moment to turn to his diary and go, oh my God, this is just like in Hamlet. This is just like the thing that happened to Hamlet. He does this multiple times, Bradley, in his opening chapters.
Oh God.
It's so funny.
And you like this book. Okay.
I love this book. It is my favorite book of all time.
Moving on, we
Moving on
have
to another voice cast member.
next up we have Hiromi Dames as Ocho. She has done multiple voice work. She is a Disney trifecta voice actor.
Nice.
She is in Marvel's Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, which is a cartoon on Disney Plus I've never seen, but it's
It
Marvel, so
snuck
it counts.
out and got no promotion that I saw, and I've stopped watching Marvel things,
Yeah, so I
just
wouldn't know.
generally. So I don't know. Unless they somehow bust out a third or second season of Moon Knight, I'll watch a second season of Moon Knight, but I basically stopped watching it. When the Divas stopped covering Marvel stuff, I took it as my excuse to just stop watching it generally.
Yeah. She's also done Disney's Hamster and Gretel, which is a show on their Disney Channel. So yeah, that's her.
Nice.
Next up is Paul Nakaguchi. Is it that?
Nakayuchi, I
Nakayuchi.
believe
Oh,
is
it
how
looks
you
like a
say
G on my
this.
thing because it's underlined. As Yasaburo, which is the father character, he is also a Disney trifecta voice actor. He was in another random Marvel show cartoon that no one's ever heard of called Marvel's Hitmonkey,
Nice.
an Monkey Assassin show, I guess that was on Hulu. And then he's also in Disney's Big City Greens. He does a voice in that. Most recently, he did additional voices in The Boy and the Heron. That was Studio Ghibli's most recent Oscar win. He was also on Squid Games on Netflix, and he's also known for doing a voice in the Overwatch video game series.
Yes, he's the voice of Hanzo.
Ka. And then
You have
he's
no idea who
also
that is, do
not a
you?
clue. Is that the cowboy, I'm
I
guessing?
only know Hanzo's the
Oh,
samurai.
samurai,
The
sorry.
cowboy. So the cowboy's name is kind of complicated. We don't have time to get into it. But the samurai, to my understanding, watching a friend of mine who's does a lot of art for this, and I'm not going to put that friend on blast, but I will say I have a friend who does a lot of art for this. The samurai and the cowboy are often shipped together, like as a
Oh, I
romantic
think I've
pairing,
seen
which
that
is why they're
on
always together.
I think I've seen that on
Yeah.
Pornhub before.
Yes,
I'm just
so
kidding.
Hanzo's a samurai. Paul Nakaguchi has also been in a few other things that I'm familiar with, other than being the voice of Hanzo. He is Watari in the live-action Death Note movie, which I'm only bringing up because I think that movie's hilarious. But he also has some Star Wars connections, Bradley.
He
We gonna get to
does.
those?
I have them, and if you're gonna have some Star Wars credits, I guess these would be the silliest ones to have.
What are his Star Wars credits?
So he was in two different episodes of The Clone Wars. One of them is called The Disappeared Part One, where he plays a guard for Jar Jar Binks's girlfriend, Queen Julia. Which I thought was really funny. Whatever her
Sure.
species is,
The
Bardotta or something.
Bardottans,
Bardottans.
yes.
So he's that kind of alien. And then he's also in, I think this is the last episode of the Clone Wars. It's called Sacrifice, where he is, it's a Moraband episode where he does the voice of Sypha Diaz in like a
Yes, it's
vision
the
of hers.
last episode of the Clone Wars'
Before it gets
original
canceled.
run.
Right.
Before it got canceled, it was the final episode when Netflix picked it up and said, "We'll take the episodes that you have done or almost done, we'll pay to finish them, and we'll put them on Netflix." That was the finale of Clone Wars for a long time before we got season seven.
Cool.
Anyway, that was Paul Nakauchi. I had one more person I wanted to bring up. I don't know if
Okay.
you had anyone else that you.
I have, yeah, just the one last one, really. Well, I have three others, but if we can kind of lump some two of them together because they
Is
kind
it
of
the
go together.
Cunty Imperial Officer? I want to
Well,
talk about the Cunty Imperial
that's the next
Officer.
one. So, next up we
Who's
have
voicing the Slay Imperial Officer?
Kyle McCarley is doing the voice of the Imperial officer. I wrote down only two series that I visually know. Like, I don't know. I've never watched these. I promise I've never seen any of these animes before. The name stands out to me, known for Hunter x Hunter and some of the different Naruto series.
Yeah, he's got 211 voice
Yeah, I
acting
didn't bother
credits
going through
on.
every single anime on there, but those two I feel like are fairly popular, I guess. So I just picked those
I
two.
mean, I assume most people in our generation at least know what Naruto is.
To an extent, I'm sure.
Like, I do feel like that is a thing that our generation is expected to know. He's also in Mob Psycho 100 as well. IMDb lists him as most known for Nier Automata, Durarara times 2, and Mob Psycho 100. And here he's playing the most
Something.
Slay Imperial officer. Colonialism, but make it fashion.
I mean, so we'll get into his character design slightly later because I want to talk about his hair and his ears and there's so many things I need to talk about him. So we'll hold off on that conversation. But I have questions because I don't think any of that is regulation. So,
No, it is not.
and last, I wanted to just pop these two names. They both do voices. They're named in the short, but they're like the different clansmen for Yasuburo's clan. They just have
Okay.
random lines. One of them, and then I think we may or may not have mentioned them both before. But Adam Seitz is one of the voices. He has previously been. I think he was in the duel. He did some additional voices, and then he
He was
provides.
Doug and Trooper C.
Okay, so he does that, and then he does some several character voices in Star Wars: The Old Republic.
I'm Googling to see if I can find out what those voices are.
Okay, because I
But
didn't.
please continue.
Okay, and then the other one is Michael Sinter-Nicholas. I feel like I definitely talked about him before. That name is so familiar. He did a
We
bunch
did
of
talk about him
voices.
because I brought him up. He's the stormtrooper in the Twins.
Gotcha. Okay, so yeah, we did bring him up. That's why I was like, I know we've talked about him before. So
We
yeah, he does
have.
a couple different voices, but I just wanted to bring him up. So there you go.
It looks like Adam Seitz. Nobody really in the Old Republic that stuck out to me as someone who's particularly memorable. But he was also in one episode of Elementary, which I thought was a pretty good show. I should go back and finish that. I stopped watching after like season three. Now, Bradley, this was your least favorite short when we watched it.
Originally,
The
yes, it
first
was.
originally, I've got to ask, with time, character development, how do you feel about Lopinocho?
So, funny enough, the things that bothered me the first time are not as bad. Okay, I'm gonna say that now. It's not that terrible. I would have changed maybe like Lop's midriff color of her shirt or whatever thing she's wearing, so it's not as close to her skin color, so it looks like she's wearing a crop top. I know she's not, but it just visually that's it reads as a crop top to me because of the coloring. If
It
it had
reads
been
as a
like a
crop top to you because you're gay and you see crop tops everywhere.
I know, so I hated that. My other thing is the way that they talked about Lop in the behind the scenes made me kind of go like, okay, this is not as terrible as I want the furries to think it is. So like I was like, I mean, furries are gonna furry, so I there's
Sure.
nothing to do. Like there's nothing you can change. It was giving me more like Zootopia vibes.
We've all seen the Zootopia comic. Like,
Yeah.
we've all seen it. We know what's gonna happen to any character.
Right. Rule, whatever it's called.
Rule 34.
34. Yeah. I mean,
Rule 34.
Internet's gonna internet.
The internet's gonna internet.
Furry's gonna furry. It's just, it is what it is. Unfortunately, that's the case. I didn't like hate it this time around. Funny enough, the thing that bothered me this time around was actually more of the plot and the story versus the actual like furriness of it all. Like that didn't actually bother me that much this time. This time it was more so the plot that bothered me because it was so like, I get that they're on like a short timeline and they were trying to like get to the point, but like I hated Ocho's jump from being this like super sweet, caring sister to like immediately like, she's not even a part of our fucking family. Like, I hated that.
Yeah, that line in particular, I will say part of my issue, I did end up liking this one, definitely more than when I first watched it. But my big issue was some of the, it all happened so quickly.
Yeah, it's really fast.
The paces, the best scene in the short by far is the scene where the dad is explaining to Law like the history of the lightsaber. And it's this slow contemplative moment. Because everything else is like plot, 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 plot. And it's not like it's a story that's moving quickly, right? Or that has a lot of moving pieces. It's just like events happen very suddenly and we don't have any fat in the middle to connect them at all. So like if you look at the story on paper, you go, oh, okay, this is a story that makes logical sense, but we're missing some of those tiny moments. We're missing really a lot of clear indication as to why the sister, like they talk in the behind the scenes about Ocho, who is the most interesting part of the short to me, was Ocho turning to the dark side,
right?
But they explain kind of why she did it. But in the short, it seems so much of a reversal from who she is as a kid. Yeah. And then when she dropped that line, I noted the same line as you. I noted the same line where she's like, you're not even part of this family. And I'm like,
that's literally, you're what? The one who brought her into the family. And we're like,
you're the one who brought her
you
in.
Be a
you're
part
having
of
this. Well, and it's the thing, like on paper, that makes sense. That it maybe is this tiny seed of a resentment, or maybe a tiny seed of a, well, we're bringing you into the family, but it's out of the goodness of our heart.
True.
It's not, you know, fully that completely altruistic. But on the flip side, like, because we don't have a lot of time with these characters before these things start happening, it feels like such a jump, especially given the scene they have like in the car together.
Right. She was fine with her
like
there.
The last time she sees it, she's fine with her there. And then she leaves. And then suddenly in the final scene, she's really like upset about Lop having the family lightsaber.
Right.
And I'm just like, again, I like all these ideas on paper. There's just so many character beats happening so quickly. And like the dad has a line where he's like, I know that, you know, I maybe have never given you any sort of, like, I may have given your sister preferential treatment. And I'm like, that has never come up.
Not once.
Prior to this moment, other than the fact that the sister's the heir to the family, but like obviously she is,
right? Because you're clearly a bunny girl and she's his human right. daughter, so it's like,
right,
what?
Like it's a bloodline thing, like,
yeah,
clearly
she wouldn't be resentful of that
on.
Because like you're barely adopted, like they just found you on the street and
they
were like,
you
you're
street.
Not a slave anymore, I'm gonna take you home, like what?
did like the collar as a callback to Star Wars slave collars too, mm-hmm. and how they use them. I did like the Star Warsiness. Something I am going to say positively about the short. I did love the Star Warsiness of it.
I like it.
Because they have like, it is probably one of the most, other than like maybe the Village Bride, this may be one of the most Star Warsy visually shorts in here, just in terms of it.
Because everything set felt like it was supposed to be there. Like if you saw like in the background, there were TIE fighters for a second. There was the, you know, the starfighters. There was
a Gazanti freighter. Did you guess a Gazanti freighter?
There's a bunch of stuff that just made sense. And then I didn't have to think about it. Like I was like, oh, there's Aqualish people in the background. Like I don't have to go, those aliens don't look like they belong in Star Wars. Like I just knew that they did. It was
and
good.
Even the rabbit people belong in Star Wars. Like that's a Star Wars thing.
Finally, okay, I did write this down because I thought it was weird the first time I watched it because, you know, she's the only rabbit girl in the whole thing. And obviously this is not their home planet. So this is like she was taken here as a slave of some kind to work. And then we see that the rabbit people are working under the stormtroopers in one like little scene. And I was like, oh, that's nice that we're finally get, I think they're called Lepi. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, they're the Leppy,
Lepi. Okay.
I
So
believe
they're,
is what they're called.
which is nice that, first of all, that someone else is acknowledging that they exist, I guess, because all we have is a green rabbit in comic books. So I feel like I want to see more of them, even though I fucking can't stand the fact that she's a bunny girl. I know what that means.
Jackson is a classic part of the old EU comics, Bradley.
Bring, honestly, like low key, I kind of want to see them bring him in. Like, if even if just like in the
Oh no,
next
he is.
animated show.
Hold on. I think he is canon. I think they did make him canon.
Shut up.
Let me find. I vaguely remember him being in one of the From a Certain Point of View books.
Oh, like a story from his point of view.
Yes, he is in the short story Fake It Till You Make It. From a Certain Point of View, Empire Strikes Back. It was written by Kevin Scott. Kevin Scott, if you may remember, is the author of Dooku Jedi Lost, The Rising Storm, High Republic, one of the High Republic architects. Fucking loves Jackson.
Well, then I guess
And
maybe
so
he's gonna
brought
show up.
Jackson back in the short story from a Certain Point of View, Empire Strikes Back.
Well, then if that's canon, then that means that he's around during Empire, so
He is.
he should just randomly show up
He's
in the
also
Mandalorian
appeared.
movie for no reason.
He's also appeared in a few of the comics, particularly the Star Wars Adventures line, and he's appeared in several issues of Star Wars Adventures: Ghosts of Vader's Castle. So he's
Okay.
extremely canon now. His first appearance in canon was The Lost Eggs of Livorno, written again by Kevin Scott. Okay, so basically, Kevin Scott has this one character from the EU that he personally really likes
So this is
and has
Kevin
made
Scott's
it
Ahsoka.
his
He's
personal mission to bring this character into Star Wars. In fact, I'm not going to double check this because we're in the middle of recording the podcast, but I would bet anything for at least 80% of these appearances that are not variant covers were written by Kevin Scott.
I kind of low-key love that. So,
I love this for
and you know what?
him.
Fuck
And
it. Just bring a rabbit man back. Like, I, you know what? Let's just do
yep,
it
it's just
at
the
this point.
rabbit. Kevin
Bring
Scott
it.
said, I love that funky little rabbit. I'm gonna bring him into all of the Star Wars. And he was in an episode of Jedi. How the fuck is he in an episode of Star Wars Jedi Temple Challenge?
Oh, that's weird.
How? Hold on.
Is he giving a clue to a.
No, he's in the flashback.
Okay,
I would
well,
have to look at this. I can't see, but apparently he's listed as appearing in an episode in flashback of Jedi Temple Adventure. I don't fucking know. Anyway,
I was gonna say we
bunny
don't have
people
time
are
to
a
go down
thing.
that rabbit
We
hole,
don't
pun
have time.
intended.
Yeah, we don't have time for. I fucking hate you.
Oh
I hate you so
my God.
much.
But
I hate you with the burning passion of a thousand suns.
that whole long-winded conversation was to say, I would like to see more Leppy in Star Wars, specifically Jackson in the next Star Wars animated project, only
Please.
because I feel like animated would it would serve him best. I don't know if live action, we're gonna get into a weird
Uncanny Valley bullshit.
yeah, it's not gonna look right and no one's gonna want it if we do it live action. So let's maybe hope and pray that it stays animation at least. That would be kind of cool. I think it might.
Yeah, I did like that they acknowledged in the behind the scenes that they went and asked one of the production people, like, hey, are there like a species of Star Wars rabbits? And the person was like, oh yeah,
Sure.
sure.
There's
There's
a
fucking
species for
everything in
everything.
Star
So
Wars,
just
bro. Like, well, I don't know what you want to do. I did like one thing I will say that my opinion improved on is when I first watched the short, I really did not like that it doesn't fucking end properly. And then I watched the behind the scenes, and that was a deliberate choice on the writer and director's parts,
Yeah.
that they wanted to leave it incomplete as an artistic statement. I'm like, okay. And I
Choices.
watched it. I was watching it again with that framework in mind, and I went, okay, I could appreciate this a lot more, knowing that's something that the creators wanted to do.
And I know that, again, I know we're on a short timeline for this episode, but it's like, why does she all of a sudden have Jedi powers at the end?
Yeah, that came out of nowhere.
I didn't love that. Like, and also, I kind of had an issue with her even using the sword against Ocho because it was kind of like, where did you learn to fight? Because he just gave it to you and we've
Oh,
never
because she's in a
precedented
mob
this.
family.
Okay, so I guess
It's visual shorthand that
they're in a
maybe
mob.
slipped by, but no, that's a mob family.
Oh, I thought, oh, well, I mean, it's all
They're
Japanese, so it just says
gangsters.
clan or whatever. So I just didn't really
Yeah,
realize that
they're
it is.
gangsters.
Oh, okay. That makes
Yeah,
a
it's
little
like a
more sense.
crime family that they're part of. That's how she knows how to fight.
Got it. So Ocho is not the villain. She's just trying to do right by the government. And I'm just kidding.
Well, that's the complicated question. And here's, my thing with the story of the short is it's got so many different concepts that it wants to explore.
Yeah.
And they're all interesting concepts, like the bond between sisters and the colonialism getting in the way of that, and how that, colonialism tears family apart, but also like resistance to colonialism, like who's actually resisting colonial powers? It's not necessarily always people that are completely otherwise legal in the clear. Legally in the clear, right? Like the people resisting the imperial occupation of Tau are criminal. They're gangs.
Right, yeah.
It's these gangs, this one particular gang that's fighting back against the Empire. And that's an interesting idea that you have the gang also has this like this old idea of like honor and protecting their home, and the Empire's like not got any such idea because they're bringing in off-world slaves, and it's got all these interesting ideas, and then it just blasts through them all
I
at a
couldn't
million
honestly
miles an
keep
hour.
up. It was hard to keep up because, like, you're right. They just throw so many things at you. Like, I didn't even catch that the first time. And also, my other problem too is like, so they have this family sword slash lightsaber, but does that make, Yasaburo a ex-Jedi or something? Or what? Or did he
They
used to
say in
be?
the short that it's like passed down from this Jedi. It's been passed down through the family. Like none of the family are Jedi, but the
Right.
Jedi gave them his
But then she has
lightsaber.
powers, but then they
But
don't.
now also she has powers. This
Yeah.
show badly needs more episodes if only to explain some of
Just
this stuff.
to explain to us the things that they were, their ideas that they, because they clearly have a lot of ideas. They clearly have like a storyboard somewhere where they had all the characters listed and like everything they wanted to say about each character and their whole story arcs probably all written out and everything. And they were like, let's give it to you in less than 20 minutes. And it was
Oh
like,
yeah.
yikes.
Oh yeah. And like not to be too down on it because it's a beautifully animated short. It's beautifully animated
Oh, for sure.
and the ideas that they are attempting to tackle are really brave ideas. It's just the execution of the story itself and how it's paced for me left a lot to be desired. And I do, to answer the question I know is coming, I feel like, even if the story is incomplete, right? If they never want to complete the story, maybe they didn't necessarily need more episodes. Maybe they just needed more time.
That
Maybe this
was my thing, yeah.
needed to be, I'm going to say something controversial
Ooh.
for the answer to this que to the question that's coming, which if you're just joining us for this episode, the question is, would you like to see this continue and how?
Sure.
This needs to be a feature film.
I was just about to say that. I have the exact same thought process. It does not need to be a show. It needs to be a 2-hour film, essentially.
It needs to be an hour and a half to 2 hour movie,
Right.
animated movie. That yeah, you can have the exact same story, change nothing
Right.
about the actual story beats themselves. You can end it in exactly the same place, but we badly needed more context for some of what was happening in the story.
Right. I needed
A
something else, yeah.
story can't exist purely on themes alone. There has to be more to it, and this needed that more. So that's how I would do it, is I would say, great short film concept, let's add another hour to it.
For sure. I mean, it would be so easy because then you could explore a little bit more. Like maybe there's a reason why Lop is force sensitive, or we could at least hint at her being force sensitive a lot more early on. That way it doesn't feel as weird when in the climax of the fight, she uses the force to pull, the weapon towards her and, attack Ocho. Like I feel like
Or
that would be easier.
even give us some more interaction between Lop and her adoptive father, or give us some more character time with Ocho after she's left the Empire. Give her a real spoilers for Star Wars Resistance Season 2, but there's a character who defects to the First Order at the end of the first season. And a lot of the second season is concerned with this character trying to integrate into the First Order. And it's really very interesting. Ocho kind of needed that story arc. And like, if the idea is the Empire is supposed to be bringing out all her worst tendencies and she falls to the dark side, that gives us more, a few more scenes with her to be able to see that.
We also need more interaction with her and the first officer, lieutenant guy, because that, I feel like that relationship.
Lieutenant Slay. I'm calling him Lieutenant Slay now.
Lieutenant Slay, that's what we're calling him. Okay. Yeah, her and Lieutenant Slay, they needed, like, I needed interaction other than just their random conversation they had on the bridge. Like, they clearly he has influenced her in some way later on, because also, is she wearing an ISB uniform? Like, she's
yes.
all white. Like,
she's wearing what? An ISB uniform by the end.
So that's already
interesting.
And
she's got the Slay little cape.
Yeah, like, that's so interesting already, because I'm like, wait a minute, she's jumped quite up the totem
yeah,
pole.
She goes 180 degrees.
It's like, you went from being, I guess now, a gangster's daughter to literally like top tier of in the Empire, to where you're making some big decisions. Like, I kind of
yeah
love it.
And overall, I do want to end on the note of I liked the short. I thought it was well made. I just had some sort of overarching issues that prevented me from really enjoying it on its own without the necessary context.
Right.
What about you? What did you think overall? Final thoughts.
Final thoughts. I thought the pacing was, it was a little quick. They were really trying to rush through all of their ideas. That's not necessarily a bad thing, because there was not a moment where I was like bored, or I was like, ugh, they're talking in the scene. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it genuinely felt like we were moving through the story, which is good. But I think, honestly, even if they only gave them like 10 more minutes, or like just a little bit more time, like, I would have appreciated that. I understand that animation is animation, and then it takes a long time to animate stuff, especially if you're hand painting the backgrounds and doing all that stuff, then I quite understand. But I think it just it's like a solid B. Like, it needed like a little bit more. Like, they were so close. I feel like they were close, and that's a lot coming from me, whereas before I hated it because of the furry thing. So it's like I'm giving them the benefit of that. Like, I'm taking that, my personal feelings about that, out of the equation, and being like, okay, you guys were like, you were there, you had some. So I think they're close.
So you can join us on a future stream where we will be watching the hit film Zootopia in order to make Bradley
down.
Incredibly uncomfortable.
We're
at
gonna
all
break it
times.
Down minute by minute.
We're gonna go minute by minute. We're gonna Star Wars minute fucking Zootopia.
Zootopia. And we're gonna bring on the only guest star is that guy who got banned from Disney because he made a TikTok about being attracted to Judy Hopps.
Oh my lord. Alrighty. What are we doing next week, Bradley?
Next week we're doing the final episode, Akakiri.
Yay!
We're finally done.
This one I also will need to revisit, because
I don't really remember this one.
I did not feel positively about this one.
I remember my first impression, like, all I can remember is like I hated this one only because it was the last one, and I felt like
that
it
was my
have been the
issue
last
with
one.
It.
Yeah.
Is I was like, you're ending on that?
So maybe we're gonna have to revisit it. I don't remember.
I'm gonna have
plot,
to revisit
but,
it standing alone, which I'm really excited to do.
I agree.
Because last time I was watching it in the context of all of the others, and this time I'm watching it by itself. And then we'll be done with the visions, Bradley. We're gonna
finally
be done.
Well, yes, for now.
For now. We'll come back to season two eventually. But
at some point in time.
After starting our visions coverage in June of last year.
Right.
We will finally finish season one.
I'm so excited.
What are we doing after Star Wars Visions, Bradley?
Well, hopefully we can get through this final season of Bad Batch that we're currently watching, which is painful for us to not talk about right now.
Oh my God, I'm dying. I'm dying. I'm dying, guys, that I can't come on the... I feel like we're gonna need to view this story as a whole.
Oh, for 100%.
But not quite in the way that we needed to view Ahsoka as a whole, just because I want to talk about, because they're clearly going somewhere. The episodes are less episodic than they used to be.
Right.
I want to know whether we'll get into that. We'll get into that in a couple of weeks. We will get into The Bad Batch, season 3. For now, pluggables. We already did the hit TTRPG podcast For Light and Dice, but we have a slight change to our pluggables this week.
That's right.
Bradley,
something's
happening, what are we
changing? In the world.
What do I get to stop saying?
So Normally, when we promote my section of the pluggables, Charles will plug one of the many shows that I've worked on. I usually try to plug the most recent show that I've worked on. That would have been Married to Medicine season 10, only on Peacock and Bravo. However, I have a new show coming out this week as of this airing. So
Yay!
everybody's going to be very excited to watch. For a little context, I filmed this show back in, I want to say August, September, November, something like that. Back in the fall, we filmed this. And
Which I will
it was.
hesitate to point out that reality TV is not governed by the same contracts. This was not scouting.
Right. This is, yeah, none of the,
If
and
you're
no one.
curious about the timeline, this is reality TV, different contract. Bradley
Right.
could still go to work.
Right. And then also, funny enough, there is only one SAG actor, I believe, that works on this show, and she could not be hired for this season until the strikes were over. So they could not film any of her content until much later. So I don't even know when, if they've even like filmed it or they film it live or however they do it. It's really complicated. I don't know because we don't film it on location. She's all her stuff is different. So it's really random. Anyway, let me get to the actual show. So you guys aren't like, what the fuck are they talking about?
Yes.
So this Wednesday, April 17th, The Circle season 6 is premiering on Netflix. And yeah, this is the first season that we filmed in the US. Normally it's filmed in the UK. This particular season, they decided to move to Atlanta and film here in Atlanta. And we filmed for about 2 or 3 months. We rented out a whole fucking hotel and turned it into The Circle. And if you lived in Atlanta during that time, you saw The Circle and you saw it lit up a couple nights when it was here. So it's really hard to keep that secret of I'm working on this show when all of Atlanta knows we're filming it. So I'm sure it was on. So we have an Instagram in Atlanta called ATL Scoop, which is like, it's kind of like a crowd, not crowdfunded, but like people will send like things that are happening around Atlanta, like a car crash or like, you know, break-ins or whatever, like all kinds of news around Atlanta, right? They don't all have to be bad news. those happen to be the two examples that I gave. One of them was when we were filming The Circle and you could see the side of the building. You could see The Circle lit up on the side of the building and people were like, oh my God, they're filming The Circle. There's another season coming. And so, yeah, we filmed The Circle season 6 and that is going to happen. I believe the finale should be on May 8th, which is when I think the same week our Bad Batch episode 0 is gonna air. So
Ooh.
I think it all kind of like works out. Like we're gonna finish with Visions, so you can watch all of The Circle up until Bad Batch.
Yes, it'll give you a little bit of something to watch in the middle. Yes. So now I can finally stop saying Married to Medicine season 10, and I can say that Bradley does a fuckload of reality TV that you can find on Bravo and Peacock, and every week we promote just whatever the most recent one is, and now it's going to be The Circle season 6 on Netflix.
Perfect.
So go watch that. You can also find, if you want to consume something that I've been a part of, I write a series of gay thriller novels called Beach House Studios, and you can find those on Amazon Kindle. All right. Well, Bradley, that's it for this week. We'll be back next week with Akakiri. And Bradley, don't forget your hand. Thank you for listening to this episode of Gold Squadron Gays. Did Charles fuck something up? Email us at goldsquadrongays@gmail.com to let us know. You can also find us on Twitter at @GoldSquadGays, and you can find us on TikTok and Instagram at @GoldSquadronGays. You can also find us on YouTube at our Gold Squadron Gays YouTube channel, where we post full episodes of this show. Finally, if you liked the show, don't forget to rate us and give us a review on your favorite podcast platform. That allows other people to find our show. As always, thank you for listening to Gold Squadron Gays, and we'll see you next week. You can just cut the show right there. Do you not get that? Don't forget your hand.
I don't know what that means.
Do you not remember Light of the Jedi?
No.
When Markian cuts Kossev's hand off, and it's just like sitting on the ground, and then Kossev goes to leave the meeting, and then Markian picks it up and is like, Kossev, don't forget your hand.
Charles, I don't remember Light of the Jedi. I'll never remember Light of the Jedi. I don't have the same brain rot as you. You're crazy.
Spreadsheet.